The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
Pat Kenny here. Before we get to today's podcast, I wanted to offer you my sincere thanks for your loyalty and your company over the past 12 years plus of mornings on News Talk. But fear not, I hope you'll be able to join me on weekend mornings from 10 a.m. starting in March. Now, we're really excited about the evolution of the show, which you can continue to follow on this podcast feed. So rest easy, you don't have to change a thing. But until we meet again this spring, I've delved into the archives to bring you some of the most engaging and thought-provoking pieces that I've had the pleasure to bring you over these past dozen years. So make sure you continue to follow The Pat Kenny Show on the Go Loud app and wherever you get your podcasts. Joined by Luke O'Neill, Professor of Biochemistry at Trinity College in Dublin. Luke, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How's it going?
I'm very well, thank you. Now, the symptoms of a hangover can be multifarious.
Well, we know them, don't we, Pat? Yeah, you know, headache is a big one. You get anxiety. It's called hangxiety by some people. You know, people even get stomach upsets, you know, all kinds of different symptoms. But we're all, I guess, many of us, nausea is a big one. We're already familiar with them, aren't we?
Blood pressure goes up. Heart beats a bit faster than normal. You can't get your heart rate down. So the question is, what causes it and can we avoid it?
Well, that's the big question, isn't it? Yeah, well, obviously the alcohol is the key ingredient here, let's face it. And, you know, they don't really fully know. That's what I've discovered from, this is an update, I guess, on this topic. They thought it was a thing called acetaldehyde, which our body makes from the alcohol. And acetaldehyde is quite a toxic substance. But then recently, the levels of that don't get that high. It's probably a part of it, you know. They reckon fatigue is a big one. You won't sleep well. I mean, we know alcohol disrupts sleep. So you wake up a bit groggy. It's a bit like you've got jet lag. That's one big feeling. Secondly, the headache is dehydration, because obviously alcohol does make you urinate more. It suppresses a thing called vasopressin, which controls urine, and then you produce more urine, and therefore you're dehydrated, and that sort of shrinks the meninges in your brain a bit. So the headache part is caused by that. And the last one, Pat, is it obviously affects neurons in our brains, and you suppress a thing called glutamate. Now, glutamate is what makes you feel a bit anxious in your normal day-to-day life. That gets suppressed by alcohol. They get a rebound. The next day, it overshoots. And now you have this anxiety feeling. So there's some of the main features we think is what's going on.
Now, the funny thing is that if you don't drink very much very often, you're much more likely to get a hangover than someone who gives it a lash all the time.
Yeah, that was strange, wasn't it, Pat? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you drink infrequently or drink moderately, your body's not used to it. And that's inclined to exacerbate the symptoms. If you drink regularly, your body's more attuned to it, can metabolize the alcohol a bit better, say, and control it a bit more. That's a strange one, isn't it? Yeah. If you drink a little bit every day, you're less likely to have severe hangovers. That's the same with that one.
There's also some research you've been telling me about where a family history of alcoholism gives people in that family worse hangovers. And that seems to be counterintuitive again, that, you know, you'd imagine the heavy drinkers are used to it and can carry it off, but not so.
That's strange. They think that might be hair of the dog idea. If it's people who are sadly who have alcoholism, they'll drink in the morning, you know, to try and keep the alcohol level up. And that makes the thing worse as it goes along. They're almost in a persistent hungover state. They're getting all the negative effects of alcohol rather than any kind of positive at all. That may be the reason for that one.
Now, we always blame, in the case of the alcohol we drink, C2H5OH, we blame it. But then there are those who think that it's all the other stuff in dark drinks, you know, whether it's stout or red wine, without the purity that you can see through it, that those are the culprits in burnishing your hangover.
That's right. Alcohol is the first one. The more alcohol, the worse it gets. But if these dark drinks, they have things called congeners, is the word they use for them. And these are kind of byproducts. And they definitely make hangovers worse. One is methanol. There's a tiny amount of methanol in some of these darker drinks. And that's much more severe than taking ethanol itself. But these congeners seem to be a big factor. They've done great studies, Pat, on that. I saw with the Italian grappa. You know grappa?
Yeah.
There's a dark version and then a clear version. The dark one, for the same amount of the same volume, much worse hangovers the next day. And that gives us some of this evidence. But the overall consensus is dark drinks will intensify the whole thing because these extra chemicals, I guess, are causing harm.
I mean, when you talk about methanol or methylated spirits, that used to be the drink of the chronic alcoholic, wasn't it? You know, they'd buy cheap meths in the hardware store and drink it. And I was always told that would kill you.
That was awful. Yeah, well, it causes blindness for a start. The term blind drunk, Pat, originally came from people drinking methanol, tragic as it may seem, because that will damage your eyes, for instance. So there's no question methanol is a much more toxic form of alcohol than ethanol is. But as I say, you do see trace amounts of methanol in some natural or ordinary alcohol drinks, and the ones that are dark are inclined to have more. So they're the ones to be avoided more, I guess, is the idea.
So drink gin or vodka and you're fine.
Well, yeah, almost. Not quite. In moderation.
Okay, so let's talk about the cures. What might help?
Well, that's the big one, because the latest study, that's why we're up to date from this, the latest studies have shown 21 separate studies have examined various remedies that you can buy, you know, supplements, things like certain yogurt drinks claim to have effects. And guess what, Pat? Most of them don't work. That's the sad part of that. Out of all those studies, there was little evidence that taking these kinds of supplements is anyway useful. One strange one, though, Pat, is one of them contains cloves, of all things.
Yeah.
And the one with cloves or clove extract, they may bring a benefit. So it turns out that the supplements that contain cloves are doing something. There's a chemical called eugenol in cloves, and that seems to limit some of the symptoms. That was the only one that was anyway convincing. But overall, any effects of these supplements, the effects are very marginal, tiny effects statistically.
So if I'm having a hot whiskey with a bit of lemon and cloves stuck through the slice of lemon, can I kind of stop it before it starts?
You've got to, Pat. Maybe that's why they put cloves in these things, strangely, yeah. Because cloves are not atypical as an add-on, especially in ancient times. Apparently, drinks would have cloves in them. And maybe the relic of that is the cloves in the lemon, and that might help. And your eugenol levels will go up then, and then that might be slightly protective. You know, that may be part of that for definite.
Well, we know, people who wake up in the night with that broken sleep, and they have a terrible thirst on them, not for more alcohol, but for water, that dehydration effect that happens. I had this theory years ago, and I used to do it if I remembered, to buy a Granny Smith apple,
right?
Which, you know, mostly made up of water with a nice kind of tang to it. And I'd have that before I went to bed.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, if you were sober enough to remember to eat the Granny Smith, you probably weren't drunk enough to have a hangover.
So that's true. That's right. Yes, exactly. The other one is, if you drink milk will coat the stomach lining. And that slows down the alcohol absorption. There's some evidence for that. And you keep the alcohol level in your bloodstream down. Maybe there's something in having a pint of milk before you go out was the idea there.
Or order that vodka milkshake.
Yeah, exactly. That's the other one. Yeah, another reason for that. Yeah.
Now, what about, the next morning, the greasy fry, the carbs, the stacking those up? Does that help at all?
Carbs work, yeah. So, for example, one recommendation, Pat, is a piece of toast and some orange juice. That can help. And the reason for that is alcohol decreases blood sugar. That's been shown as well. And lower blood sugar can give rise to some of these symptoms because we need sugar for all kinds of things. So if you take a bit of carbs, it's great. The disappointing one, Pat, is the fatty, the fry the next morning. Yeah. Remember those idiots have a full Irish. That doesn't really do much. So unless you have lots of carbs with it, it's more carbohydrates than fats. Seem to bring benefits.
And orange juice will bring your blood sugar up very quickly.
Exactly. The orange juice seems to give you a spike in blood sugar, restoring blood sugar back to normal. Mm. And that can affect some of the fatigue and some of the symptoms. So the recommendation is a slice of toast, a bit of marmalade, and a good slug of orange juice is useful.
Okay. Now, one of the pieces of advice, which I find startling, is that if you want to take a pain reliever for your headache from a hangover, don't take paracetamol. Why not?
Yeah. The reason, paracetamol, it's a great painkiller, by the way, and it's a very safe drug. Let's not make any doubt about that. The trouble is, it puts a bit more pressure on the liver than, say, ibuprofen, another painkiller, be Nurofen, for example, or aspirin. They put less pressure on the liver. And the trouble is, the alcohol has put pressure on your liver. So the advice is try to avoid paracetamol to make sure your liver isn't under any more pressure. And of course, paracetamol at high doses can be very damaging to the liver. See, the liver seems to not like it. So the advice is to try to avoid the painkillers of paracetamol and take other types of painkillers that are more effective. Then.
Tea or coffee for a hangover?
Caffeine is great, Pat, obviously, yes, because as we all know, you're feeling a bit sluggish, you know, you've had a bad night's sleep, you can't beat a nice strong espresso, because that gives you a bit of a stimulation as well. And again, overall, Pat, it's a bit subjective. The goal is to feel a bit better, isn't it? Let's face it, you know, and a little bit of coffee will definitely stimulate you and get you going, I guess.
Some of the texts coming in, can you ask Luke to tell us more about the anxiety effect? I'd never heard of that.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So the reason why you feel good is the alcohol goes into your brain and suppresses the thing called glutamate. And the glutamate makes you feel a bit anxious. And that's why you relax socially. We're always making glutamate in social situations and it makes us slightly edgy, you know. But then the alcohol blocks that. But the trouble is the body the next morning tries to reset it and it's inclined to overshoot. So you make much more glutamate then the next day and you feel even more anxious. And a second neurotransmitter is called GABA. That makes you feel relaxed. And guess what, Pat? Alcohol increases GABA. But the trouble is, again, the next morning, it goes back down too far. In other words, you're getting a double whammy. You have less of the relaxing neurotransmitter and more of the anxiety one. And that's why you have, they do call it hangxiety, is the word that neuroscientists call it. You know. And again, all you can do is wait, Pat. It'll eventually restore, of course, as the day moves on, you'll begin to feel better because those neurotransmitters go back to their normal settings, you know, and then you feel a bit better.
So the main message is don't drink too much. And if you do, have a good pint of milk before you go out.
Or go for the zero after. Remember, the zero thing is huge booming at the moment. You've seen that, but there's a 25% increase in zero alcohol. So maybe have every second drink to be zero is one recommendation I've seen as well. And then overall, you're taking it less. But the advice would be try to enjoy yourself, but not too much.
Luke O'Neill, Professor of Biochemistry at Trinity College in Dublin, thank you very much.